Advocacy groups tend to seek the same things: money, media coverage, and government action. In the UK, many of these groups look with envy on the success of one particular cause. It's the effort to end female genital mutilation, known as FGM. The UK is far ahead of the United States on this issue. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports from London on how the national dialogue in Britain changed so dramatically, so fast. And a warning to listeners, this story includes some graphic descriptions.
Nimco Ali is a stylish 30-year-old born and raised in the UK. Her parents are from Somalia. Ali spent years as an activist fighting to stop female genital mutilation before she finally decided to reveal that she herself is a survivor. Even then, she wasn't totally ready to step out of the shadows. She had seen what happened to other women who spoke out.
They were just completely ostracized.
So when she did an interview with London's Evening Standard newspaper 2 years ago, she told the whole story, how her parents took her to Djibouti in East Africa for the most extreme form of the procedure. But in an almost comical effort to preserve some anonymity, Nimco Ali changed the C in her name to a K. And for the photo shoot, she wore a hat.
That article came out on the Tuesday, and I'm thinking, oh, that's fine. Like, you know, it's only in the Evening Standard. It's like it's going to go into bins, and that's fine.
And besides, you wore a hat.
Yeah, I wore a hat, but he zoomed into my face. And it was like, so you can actually kind of, it's like the stupidest picture ever. And we always say that the campaign around FGM started with a hat.
The newspaper did not just go into trash bins. That night, Ali's phone lit up with text messages from angry relatives. One said, I knew you were crazy, but I didn't know you were this crazy.
You've just embarrassed yourself. I texted him back and I said, why don't you cut off your penis and then text me back? Because it was very much about this was something, that's what I was talking about.
Female genital mutilation is common in parts of sub-Saharan Africa. Specific practices vary, but it can involve the entire removal of a woman's external sexual organs. Immigrants may bring the practice with them to Western countries, but until recently, the UK tended to treat FGM as a practice from a foreign culture that did not demand attention. Then it became clear that a lot of young British girls from immigrant backgrounds were being taken to Africa over school vacations to be cut. Nimco Ali's newspaper interview did more than attract the wrath of her cousins. It also attracted the attention of British society.
It just snowballed.
Anna Davis is the education correspondent at the Evening Standard. I met her in the lobby of the newspaper's bustling headquarters.
Without those women bravely talking about what they'd been through, the story may have died out.
Davis has worked at the Evening Standard for 8 years. When she started, there was hardly any mention of FGM at all in her paper or others.
Now, a week doesn't go by without there being a story in it, so it's been a dramatic change.
The change goes far beyond media attention. It extends to the police. This year brought the first ever prosecution for FGM. Detective Jerry Campbell explains the law prohibiting the practice has been on the books since 1985. And now,
two people, a doctor and a FGM survivor's husband, will be going on trial in January next year.
This change also extends to the medical profession. Janet File is with the Royal College of Midwives in London.
I thought I have been there when people didn't talk about men who beat their spouses, and we've changed that. So this was the second thing that we're going to change.
Last month, British doctors started tracking FGM cases for the first time. The British Education Department is now training teachers on how to recognize kids who may be at risk. In short, society here has completely transformed its approach across the board.
There's a conception that this happened overnight, and really it's been going on for 20 to 30 years.
Shelby Quast is policy director for Equality Now, one of the groups that has done the most to change the British approach to FGM. She says this issue burst into public consciousness only after decades of laying the groundwork. And this is one area where the West actually followed Africa's lead.
We didn't make up this way of doing things, but Burkina Faso led that in Africa of saying we need to have education, we need to have law, we need to have health care, we need to have everybody together to come to a solution to actually change this.
In 2011, the African Union asked the UN to pass a global resolution calling for an end to FGM. That had a huge impact, says Quast.
We often heard an argument that this is something that the West cares about. It's a cultural practice in Africa. But in reality, it was these African governments, civil society, individuals calling for an end to FGM.
The cultural change in Britain has been so dramatic, it even reached the highest levels of government. In July, the UK hosted an international girls' summit where Prime Minister David Cameron committed to ending FGM.
These practices are just simply a violation
of girls' rights.
Survivo Nimco Ali remembers listening to that speech and thinking, oh my God.
The Prime Minister's talking about keeping vaginas perfect, and I thought, this is what we need to do, about empowering young women.
And she says in that moment, the verbal abuse she took from her relatives for speaking out was worth it. Now these activists have their sights set on getting the United States to catch up with Britain. In Washington, an interagency government group on FGM has its first meeting tomorrow. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, London.